Eric Reeves has spent the past 9 years working as a Sudan researcher and analyst, publishing extensively both in the U.S. and internationally. He is one of several contributors to a new book called The World in Darfur, International Response to Crimes Against Humanity in Western Sudan. WMNF spoke with him earlier this week and asked about his contribution to the book, about how many lives have been lost or displaced because of the situation in Darfur.
Well, we're actually much more certain about the number of displaced. The UN figure for internal displacement in Darfur is a staggering 2.7 million. The pre-war population of Darfur was perhaps 6.5 million people, so that's well over a third of the population. Another 300,000 or so have been turned into refugees in eastern Chad, so we have approximately 3 million people who've been uprooted from their homes, most violently. We have some studies that show that people to be displaced really must be violently displaced. They won't leave simply for food or humanitarian assistance. The mortality rate has dropped dramatically since I published or distributed first my mortality analysis in April, May 2006. Humanitarian assistance has finally brought mortality rate down for disease, and there is a good deal less fighting than there was. Now, that's not to say there isn't still significant mortality, and at times great mortality in especially violent conflict. But I think the main conclusion of my essay stands, and that is that approximately 500,000 people have died in Darfur. The vast majority of those in 2003-2004, the height of the genocidal violence, when we saw hundreds, indeed thousands of villages destroyed on an ethnic basis. The Arab tribal militias known as Janjaweed, in conjunction with the regime in Khartoum, attacking villages, destroying them, killing people. When I say destroying them, I mean everything, burning houses, burning food stocks, seed stocks, cutting down mature fruit trees, poisoning wells with corpses, human and animal, looting all cattle. There was nothing left to go back to. There was no means of sustaining livelihood. And one of the things people don't understand about the UN Genocide Convention is it's not just killing members of the group, but it's also deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. This is why I think the challenges to a genocide determination are so misconceived. They simply don't take into account this feature of the Genocide Convention. And it's hard to put a percentage on it, but of those 500,000, let's say very, very approximately, 500,000 people who died, I would say there's a margin of error that could be as great as 100,000.
Right.
We don't know how many have died in situ or in transit.
Sure. Eric, let me ask you this. I know you recently wrote an article entitled, "Is President Obama's Sudan Policy Becoming One of Capitulation?" I'd like for you to talk to our listeners about what your message was in that piece.
On March 4th, the Khartoum regime unconscionably expelled half the humanitarian capacity in Darfur. Some 13 international, distinguished international humanitarian organizations with a very large presence, as well as shutting down three important domestic human rights and humanitarian organizations. Now, the response initially from President Obama was to say this was not acceptable. Well, that has morphed into a language that is a language of accommodation. And we've seen this from his special envoy, former General Gratian. We've seen it from Senator John Kerry, head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And we've heard it from the State Department and President Obama himself. Now, in my view, we either confront the Khartoum regime robustly, multilaterally, with real vigor, and making clear that there will be severe consequences for humanitarian aid not being allowed back in, or we will fail. And failure in the context of reducing humanitarian assistance to what the UN estimates are 4.7 million conflict-affected people is going to be catastrophic. We've entered the so-called hunger season, the period between spring planting and fall harvest. And we're about to enter the rainy season, in which waterborne diseases are going to be extremely prevalent without those humanitarian organizations. Now, the policy here is going to be defining of the Obama administration policy towards Sudan, and I fear, again, that the regime is being accommodated, even rewarded for committing what is a crime against humanity, expelling humanitarian assistance under these circumstances.
We're speaking with Eric Reeves. He's a contributor to the new book, The World in Darfur, International Response to Crimes Against Humanity in Western Sudan. And Eric Reeves, in the foreword of this book, there's a question asked, basically. It says, how will we ever achieve never again if we have no intention of making effective and meaningful commitments in support of international law, fundamental human rights, and basic human dignity? Where is the will to intervene at the political levels? And there's many other selections in this book which reference back to the Rwandan tragedy back 15 years ago now, 1994, where we saw genocide happen then, and many people said in the West and the UN said, you know, never again, and yet here we are 15 years later, and some people say it is happening again, and there's not enough to stop it.
It's sadly the case that Darfur now appears to be Rwanda in slow motion. The cataclysm of human destruction that we saw in 2003, 2004 has diminished. It certainly hasn't stopped, but it's what we might call genocide by attrition. The consequences of that antecedent violence are so great that people are going to continue to die, continue to be extremely vulnerable and dependent upon humanitarian assistance. And at the moment of truth, when humanitarian organizations were expelled, what we have is double talk from Senator Kerry, truly accommodationist talk by General Gration, and a backtracking by President Obama. The rhetoric of the Obama campaign in April 2008, excoriating the Bush administration for contemplating normalized relations, is in starkly in contrast with the language that's coming from the Obama administration now.